conducive for testing these weapon systems and assessing how they form a kind of predatory formation that spans from the borders to the hinterlands of the world.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints. I'm your humble host, Muzaffar Haidar. Here in the studio today, we have with us Sayyid Mathi and Sheikh Ali. Assalamu alaikum to both of you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
It's great to have you here. We've been discussing about the Iranian election system, and we've been talking about how the Western propaganda is often attacking Iran. Lots and lots of interesting points that Sheikh Ali and Sayyid Mathi brought up last time about the personality of Sayyid Raisi. I'd like to actually evolve this discussion a bit more now, taking it to Sayyid Mathi, inshallah. This idea of Iran having an election process, right, and then the Western powers attacking it. We mentioned how the Western media is attacking and how they've got a history of doing this. Why do they do it again?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It's interesting, in one of the previous programs we talked about some of the reasons on why this Western propaganda or the mass media of the West in general has attacked these democratic elections in the Islamic Republic of Iran. One of the things that comes to mind is the fact that the neoliberal or liberal democratic systems of the world, the Western world, they do not want this Islamic Republic system to spread beyond the borders of the Islamic Republic of Iran. So this Islamic Republic system, which again is based upon Islam, based upon the Quran, is based upon the traditions of the Holy Prophet, this system of the Islamic Republic, again, which was put forth by Imam Khomeini, I'm giving due credit to everywhere where it should be given, and then this Islamic Republic, which has been sustained and continued and strengthened by Imam Khomeini, this system is something which is a very serious threat to this global hegemony of the Western world and of imperialist colonialist powers. And so this, in my mind, is one of the reasons why... one of the reasons why they are really doing as much as they can to make the system and the elections and the whole thing seem like a sham.
You know, I just wanted to point out that it's not just the West. Back then, it was the communist power in the East as well. Now, the Soviet Union has fallen, and the big bad guy in today's world is the Western power, right? Is the great Satan, America, and its cohorts.
If I can add right there to this thought and build on top of it. See, we back in the day, we had this liberal democracy, as a model of governance. Then the Russia, USSR, you know, the Soviet, they had the communism as the working model, right? Communist government, communism has its own mm-hmm. ideology. Mm-hmm. These were the only two blocks or only two options for the countries of the world to choose from.
Yes, and right? Every other country was basically just choosing, should I side with them, should I side with them, should I go into their pocket or their pocket?
Right, so there were these two mm-hmm. camps, and you can either join them or you can just take parts of their system and implement in your country and run your country. This was the option, the two only two options. What the Islamic Republic and the Islamic Revolution and the concept and the belief of Wilayatul Faqih did, at least for the Muslim nations, is to present a third option. Okay, this is huge. When you're looking at the world at a macro level, this is huge. You're providing a political system, a method of governing your country
yeah.
and deciding your own fate. This option did not exist before. And why I said at least Muslim countries, because I personally believe, and I have logical reasoning for that, why this system is also applicable and viable and feasible for non-Muslim countries. And I know right off the bat people are not going to agree with me, but this is something that I can discuss. I'm ready to prove in my own way.
I would love to discuss that. Yeah. Because
this is the only divine solution in the time of the occultation of Imam. Again, I don't want to go on a right. tangent, right?
Yeah, yeah.
When the Imam comes, we're going to have Imam Mahdi, Ajjalallahu ta'ala faraja sharif. He's going to be ruling the world.
Mm-hmm.
That one world, inshallah. One government, right? In his occultation, I still think that the divine principles of Islam can benefit all the nations out there, not just the Muslim nations.
That again, is an absolutely beautiful thought that you said. And it is a bit of a tangent, but Sayyid Mehdi, I think you'd agree that it's a beautiful tangent.
Yeah, of course, right? So when we talk about Islam in itself as a, you know, as an existence or as a being, so Islam, all of the tenets and the basic principles and the concepts and the ideas and the philosophy, the ethics, the morality, the laws, all of these things that are within Islam are
social
universal.
Social justice system. Mm-hmm.
The social
honest.
Justice, right? And really, if you were to implement this thing, Islam, on a global level, you will find that it promotes truth and justice and equality, and that's something that is universal.
I
just wanted to add something that was really interesting about this political theory, this third political theory that was brought forth by Imam Khomeini in an era where you had two global superpowers, the communists and the capitalists, against each other. It seems like history tends to repeat itself. Now, how true that is, I don't know. It's something that can be researched. But the thing that came immediately to my mind, you know, with all due respect to each on its own, was during the time of the Holy Prophet when Islam came forth. You had two global superpowers at that time as well, right? You had the Romans on one side, and you had the Persians on the other side. And either the world had sided with the Persians, or the world had sided with the Romans. There was no third.
Yeah, or had been dominated by
or had been dominated yeah. by either one of these two. And then you had this Islam come forth in the middle. And again, Islam wasn't just limited to that area. It was a global phenomenon. So I thought that was an interesting thing to add to this.
Yeah, and just to add to that as well, it's interesting how once Islam rose, the Eastern Bloc, in other words, the Persian Empire, kind of fizzled away in history. It's the Romans that actually remained for the longest time. The same thing has happened after the Islamic Revolution, where the Eastern Bloc, represented by the Soviet Union, kind of disappeared. It actually collapsed, and now we're dealing with the same old thing, the Western power. Yeah, coming back to this idea of Imam Khomeini, Islam, in fact, having presented an alternate to the entire world for a feasible socio-political system that can have an effect, you know, it can be put into effect, in fact, across the world. And as you mentioned, even in non-Muslim countries, what stands out really profoundly is the fact that they attacked the concept of Sharia from the onset. You know, I don't know how much it was in the US, but in the UK, we had this whole thing about, you know, Sharia laws coming to the UK, and, you know, they created a whole hoo-ha, and the propaganda was massive. And people were trying to explain that, hold on, Sharia isn't as bad as you think it is, but people are terrified of it. They're actually terrified of Sharia. But that's actually what, at least a part of what we're talking about being implemented.
I want to, because this is interesting, and then I'll pass it over to Sheikh Ali. So I've been following this kind of idea of what you just talked about at least since September 11th, 2001, okay? So we are right now, what, 2021. I've been following this concept since 2001, so over 20 years at least.
You don't look that old.
No, thank you, yeah. I'm actually, close to 50 years old, but... what's interesting here is that in the last 20 years, not only have they attacked the Sharia, right, this divine legislation of God, okay, you will find that there are a lot of Islamic so-called symbols or things that are connected with Islam which have been attacked in the last 20 years, right? So whether it's an individual who wears a turban, whether it's an individual who wears a black turban, whether it's a person who wears religious clothes, whether it's a person as simple as somebody who has a beard. Now, these things that I'm listing are things that have been demonized and have been showed in a negative context in the Western global media empire for the last two decades, over 20 years. A person having a beard, a person wearing a turban, a woman wearing a hijab. A woman wearing a burqa. Hold on. There's terms like Islam, Islamic State, Mujahideen, Taliban. Look, Mujahideen is somebody who fights and strives on the path of God. Mm-hmm. This is a Mujahideen. They took it to these crazy Taliban fight. Taliban. Taliban is from Talabe. Talabe is a student.
Mm.
You know, in our context, an Islamic seminary student. Right?
Absolutely.
They took this terminology, Islamic State and the Levant, right? So for example, you have an Islamic Republic, they took Islamic State and they turned it around. The Caliph, right? Abu Bakr Baghdadi, he was known as the Caliph of the Islamic State. They have taken so many terminologies of Islam and demonized it in order to scare. And why? If you look at 2001, Islam was at that point the fastest growing religion in the world, including the Western world. And that is
absolutely
these attacks started.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to make an additional observation because you mentioned the black turban. But did you notice that Takfiri Wahhabis, generally speaking, is not a recognized symbol of Takfiri Wahhabism to actually wear a turban? However, they had a white turban on Osama bin Laden and a black one on Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi.
Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, if you look at Boko Haram, that guy, Abu Bakr Shekau, who I think he committed suicide because another Daesh group was going to take over, he used to wear a black turban. It's really weird. I mean,
it has been an orchestrated attack, like just visually, to bring the attention to Iran. Yeah.
Again, it's the phobia, right? The point is that these are the fear-mongering techniques, right? Because what happens with general masses is they get scared, right? And when anything we are scared of, we're going to avoid it, right? So if you get scared of, let's say, an Islamic government, quote-unquote, right, you are not going to put together an Islamic government, build an infrastructure for it, implement the rules of Islam, and because you're scared, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is basically what they tried to do with all of these things, and now they're trying to do it with Iran. Iran being a nuclear state, building bombs, that's all they show, right? Why do they show this? So they freak people out, they scare people off. And when people get scared, and nations get scared, and countries get scared, they are repellent to that idea. In this case, the Islamic Republic of Iran. They're not going to engage in business transactions. They're not going to engage in trade.
Let alone consider adopting that political system.
Exactly, right? So this is the tactic that they're using, which our people need to, inshallah, understand and realize.
I mean, to just to continue your train of thought, this inculcating and injecting fear into the masses, it is a very easy way for governments and powers to control their people, right? if you consistently have your population under fear, right, fear causes certain amounts of stress. It, Imam Khamenei says that people who are cowards, meaning they have fear, they don't have the right to talk about rationality. Meaning what? It means that that fear creates an irrationality, an instability in people. And then what happens is you manipulate the vote. You manipulate the vote to an extent where you can manipulate the people due to fear to vote for somebody, you know, as racist as Donald Trump, for example. It is fear, either fear from this side, fear from that side, fear from Muslims, fear from black people, fear from Hispanics, fear from immigrants, fear from the Antifa. And so this is interesting. Islam is the exact opposite. It promotes courage and bravery, and it does. And just one tradition from the Holy Prophet, he says that even if you look at another Muslim in a manner which scares them, this is considered a sin.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
Let alone Daesh and these crazy guys.
That's all we have time for, unfortunately. A fascinating discussion, inshallah, which we will be continuing, inshallah, next time. From myself and from our honorable guests, we bid you assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you so much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. You can log on to our website at parstoday.com, and you can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Until next time, goodbye.
A symphony of nature. Oh, it's taking my breath away. I'm so blessed out here today. Yeah, Allah.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and a happy day to you all. Today also as food for thought, we have selected another beautiful aphorism from the master of eloquence and wisdom, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. The first infallible successor to Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Incapability is a catastrophe. Endurance is bravery. Abstinence is riches. Self-restraint is a shield against sin. And the best companion is submission to Allah's will.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The light.
Animals have been providing protection and service to people since time immemorial. They have not only been the source of food like meat, butter, and milk, but also served humans by eating plants toxic to them. Authorities in New York City have taken 24 goats from a nearby farm to the Riverside Park in Manhattan to munch on invasive weeds. They say it's an environmentally friendly win-win for the species removal at the park. The goats get to feast on overgrown bush, and Riverside Park Conservancy doesn't have to dump harsh chemicals on weeds. Park officials say it's both healthy for the goats and good for the environment.
As part of our woodland restoration initiative, 2 years ago, we unleashed a very hungry group of goats into a stretch of the park that had been overrun with invasive plants. And wow, did they exceed expectations. We called it Gotham because we put the goat in Gotham. They chowed down on Japanese knotweed. They noshed on porcelain berry. They snacked on multiflora rose. They easily traversed the hard-to-reach terrain behind me and gulped down poison ivy without even giving it a second thought. Since goats are naturally effective weed whackers, putting them to work in Gotham is like treating them to an all-you-can-eat buffet. It's healthy for the goats, and it's good for the environment. That's farm to table.
People visiting the goats at the zoo say these animals are emotionally intelligent and connect with people. Goats are an ingenious approach to weed removal, eating species dangerous to humans like poison ivy. Of the 24 goats, 5 will call Riverside Park its home through the end of August. For some others, the public can vote to determine which goat will be crowned the greatest of all time. The winner will be announced by the end of the summer.
Singapore unveils one of the world's biggest floating solar panel farms in a bid for quadrupling its solar energy production by 2025. The farm is as big as 45 football fields. It includes 122,000 solar panels. The panels are designed to last for 25 years, and drones will be used to assist with maintenance. The farm is located on a reservoir in western Singapore and will generate enough electricity to power its 5 water treatment plants. It puts Singapore among the few countries in the world with a water treatment system fully powered by green energy. The farm can reduce Singapore's carbon emissions by 32,000 tons annually. Floating solar panels perform up to 15% better than conventional rooftop panels. That's because of the cooling effect of water and that shading from other buildings does not affect them. Singapore is currently developing 4 other floating solar panel projects. Maybe kittens are considered the cutest baby animals by many of us, but just wait to see this baby hippo, which was born during a full moon. The male cub was born in a Mexican zoo last month. He weighs 30 kilos upon birth. Since then, he has spent most of his time bonding with his mother. The vets in the zoo say he is healthy, playful, strong, and a bit hyperactive. They say some of his habits are surprisingly similar to that of a horse or a dolphin. Generally, reproduction among zoo hippos is not a common practice. Therefore, newborn calves are signs of high quality of the lives and habitats of their parents. A zoo in central France is welcoming the birth of a male giraffe
after 15 months of waiting. The cult is named after Melman, the giraffe character in the Madagascar movie franchise. He was born on Sunday in a Bouval Zoo park. He is 170 centimeters tall and weighs 55 kilograms. Zookeepers say Melman is a special baby.
A giraffe birth here. It's our second birth since we've had the group of females established for a few years. So for us, it's still quite an important and exceptional event because it's not every day that we have a giraffe birth.
The giraffe keepers say Melman stood on his feet for the first time 45 minutes after being born. Since zoos have opened in France, visitors can enjoy seeing little Melman playing around with his mother. The birth of the baby giraffe is good news for wildlife preservation, as according to estimates, the number of the animal in the wild has dropped by about 30% since the 1980s.
The issue of marine trash has long worried scientists and environmentalists. Now a French engineer has invented a robot to help clean ocean waste. The Jellyfish Bot is a remote-controlled electric-powered boat that helps clean rubbish from the surface of the water. It's 70 centimeters long and 70 wide, almost the size of a suitcase. The robot can collect everything from plastic bottles to masks and even oil and petrol. Despite its wide-ranging utility, Jellyfish Bot has a rather simple mechanism.
To collect trash, you have to do something as simple as possible. Because otherwise, if we put too complicated mechanisms, it can get blocked and things can get stuck in the system. We designed the robot with a slide mechanism that goes towards a net, so we fill up the net, we take back the net, and that's the end of it.
The trash collecting robot is being used at around 15 ports in France, lightening the workload of local cleaners. It has also been exported to countries including Japan, Norway, and Singapore. The makers have also developed an autonomous version of the boat.
Malaysians at a vaccination center in the city of Kuching have witnessed a surprising scene. A T-Rex turned up to get his COVID-19 jab. Fitness instructor Kenny Sia dressed up in a dinosaur costume to amuse people, doesn't he look fabulous, and protect himself. Sia said he made the decision to lift up the spirits of frontline health workers, is exhausted by vaccinating over 5,000 people a day. People rushed to take pictures with him, hailing his appearance and historic. Funny. A giant 3D cat has risen to fame in the Japanese capital, Tokyo, bringing joy to citizens amid the COVID-19 pandemic. A massive billboard featuring the cat has been installed in one of Tokyo's busiest districts. The realistic-looking cat on a 4K resolution screen appears every few minutes between advertisements. Depending on the time of day, the cat appears differently and sometimes meowing at people walking by. The companies that set up the billboard hope that they can cheer people up during the dark era of the coronavirus pandemic. The display has already caused a frenzy in the city and among the social platforms, with many expressing joy and amazement at the technology.
Peru is full of natural wonders worthy of appreciation in each of its regions. A zoo in the capital Lima has now unveiled an incredibly cute and adorable Andean alpaca calf to attract visitors amid dwindling zoo-goers due to the coronavirus pandemic. This very baby alpaca named Paquita is just 1 month old and was introduced to the public on the eve of the 200th anniversary of Peru's independence from Spain. The zoo has also displayed its families of llamas, alpaca, and vicuña. The three are members of South American camelids' biological family and are traditionally valued for their soft and warm wool. They live in the Andes Mountains, which lay thousands of meters above sea level. Peruvians are proud of the history of wools associated with these species,
which have common ancestors with camels.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Four German tightrope walkers have set a new world highlining distance record by crossing an Arctic valley in Sweden. The group tiptoed a distance of more than 2 kilometers between two mountain peaks in Lapland barefoot. The line they walked on was set at a height of 600 meters. The four members of the team walked the line one after another successfully, despite challenges including the wind and long distance. It took 2 days for the team to rig the line between the two peaks.
A herd of elephants migrating in China have been making headlines for months. Now they have once again attracted attention. Experts monitoring the animals this week noticed two females engaged in a dramatic fight over the herd's leadership, where they kicked and bit each other. The tussle soon ended after a male elephant succeeded in calming the belligerent giants. The fight happened in China's southwestern province of Yunnan. The herd embarked on a lengthy journey last year after escaping a nature reserve and has since trekked hundreds of miles. The elephant's migration is the longest one in China's history.
A distinctive feature, no matter of humans or animals, often catches our attention. You might have heard stories about the big fat cow or other animals you love the most. Here we bring you a story about a cow for her not being big, but for being the smallest. Rani, a 23-month-old cow, is being reared on a farm near the Bangladeshi capital, Dhaka. She is only 20 inches tall and weighs 26 kilograms. Local vets say the little Rani has no physical problems, but will no longer gain any weight or height. The owner believes Rani is shorter than the smallest cow in Guinness World Record. The record for the smallest cow so far held by a 4-year-old red cow named Manikyam from the Indian state of Kerala.
We found on the internet that the smallest known cow is living in India's Kerala, which weighs 40 kilograms, but ours weighs only 26. So we believe ours is the world's smallest. That's why we applied to the Guinness World Records. They replied to us saying they will investigate within 90 days.
The tiny cow has also caused tourist frenzy in the South Asian country as thousands are flocking to Dhaka to take a glance despite coronavirus restrictions. The owner says only that is over 15,000 people come to visit her in just 3 days. The dwarf cow has also gone viral on social media. A nearly 22-meter high sand sculpture in Denmark has set a new Guinness record as the world's tallest sand castle. The sculpture has been constructed with nearly 5 tons of sand. It's made in the shape of a triangle and a wood structure stabilizes it. More than 30 artists from different countries have worked on the project, carving intricate details on the castle's wall. Its makers say a nod to the coronavirus pandemic was also made at the top of that construction. They say that's because the virus has controlled the lives of people over the past months. The sand piece broke the previous Guinness record that belonged to an 18-meter-high sand castle in Germany. An adorable baby elephant has become a web celebrity after she was caught on camera using a muddy hill as playground slide. Footage shows the little elephant excitedly approaching a hill with a smooth path leading downward. The baby then goes on all fours to have the time of her life sliding on her belly down the hill, taking full advantage of rain. The toddler, named Yishong, is only 3 years old. She lives at a rescue center in China, one of the major habitats for wild Asian elephants in the country.
A French company has taken the process of pizza making to a whole new level by creating a robot chef. The robot named Patsy is completely autonomous. The machine, now working in a pizzeria in Paris, is capable of taking orders, making a pizza from scratch and serving it. Having three arms, the robot can make 120 pizzas in an hour, which is 13 times faster than a human chef.
We are in a very fast process with a perfect control of time and quality, since we have a constancy offered by robotics and then an environment that is quite cool and relaxed. The idea is also to spend a few pleasant minutes washing the robot while you wait for your pizza to be made.
It took designers 8 years to develop the machine, which is claimed to be the first pizza-making robot in the world. They hope to use the technology to open robotics-run restaurants that can function round the clock. In China, scientists are happy that the world's first artificially bred leaf monkey is doing well 2.5 months after being born. The rare monkey was born at a research and protection center in Wuzhou City in April. Its birth took place several days earlier than the due date, and the baby was relatively weak at birth. However, thanks to its parents and caretakers, it has grown in a normal way. Scientists say the baby monkey is now in a good condition and its behavior is totally normal.
It is very important in terms of the psychic value. It has been growing up normally. In addition, we have found that it has a curiosity about the world and always shows some exploratory and learning behaviors. In general, it is in very good physical condition.
The center's scientists say another leaf monkey that was born in April is doing well too. These monkeys are the eighth generation of leaf monkeys that have been bred in captivity. Their successful births have raised hope amongst the scientists of saving a species that is one of China's most endangered wild animals.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about submission to the will of Allah. But first, what date is today? Today, Saturday, is the 6th of Zulhijjah, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 26th of the month of Tir, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar. and the 17th of July 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Dear brothers and sisters, let's open the Holy Quran and listen to chapter Al-An'am, verse 71 to 72.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. قل أندعو من دون الله ما لا ينفعنا ولا يضرنا ونرد على أعقابنا ونرد على هدانا الله كالذي استهوته الشياطين في الأرض حيران له أصحاب يدعونه إلى الهدى ائتنا قل إن هدى الله هو الهدى وأمرنا لنسلم لرب العالمين.
Say, shall we invoke instead of Allah that which neither benefits us nor harms us, and be turned back on our heels after Allah has guided us? We would then be like one whom the devils entice to wander upon the earth confused, while he has companions inviting him to guidance, calling, "Come to us." Say, indeed, the guidance of Allah is the only guidance, and we have been commanded to submit to the Lord of the worlds.
وَأَنْ أَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّقُوهُ وَهُوَ الَّذِي إِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ.
And to establish prayer and fear Him, and it is He to whom you will be gathered.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The verse addresses the Prophet, Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny to tell the disbelievers who invite people to idolatry whether they should worship the things that neither benefit them nor harm them, and by abandoning the best religion, turn back on their heels after that Allah has guided them and has shown them the straight path. The only guidance that causes prosperity and comfort is Allah's guidance that calls human beings to monotheism. We are dependents to that very guidance and do not avoid obeying it.
So far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further and further away from you. Brought me home. I thank you with every breath I take.
This is today's special and the total submission to the will of Allah. To totally submit to the will of Allah is to succumb to that superior status of Allah's lordship and to obey as with an obedient slave, servant, his wise master. Disobedience at its highest level would mean that the obedient obeys in such a way that he or she does not think about the matter or perform an act, but to think of Allah before, during, and after the execution of that act, something that necessitates total remembrance of Allah and His commands, and the subsequent absence of room for disobedience, be it the misuse or abuse of his gifts to humans. This total obedience also means thankfulness in its entirety, since it means that the thankful thanks Allah by not misusing the gifts that he was endowed with by remembering Allah and adhering to his commands, whether he employs any of his gifts. Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to talk about submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With regard to submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making oneself ready for receiving whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has determined for him or for others, it must be indicated that, first of all, we as human beings, we are not machines. First of all, we are human beings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, I mean all of us, the power of intellect, the faculty of intellect, in order to think about our own affairs, I mean our life, our, for example, interactions with others. Yet at times it happens to us that not everything can be controlled by us. We shouldn't, we don't have any control over everything. So in terms of some mishaps, so we have to be ready to accept the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the same time, we find that, I mean, in the lives of those people, who have been very felicitous and happy in their lives, we find that it isn't the case that they wouldn't do anything, or they would sit still in a corner just to wait for anything what might come to them. No, rather, rational people do their best, and they do have their own programs and their own schedules in their lives. Yet, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has determined for them, they accept.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
You are with today's special from IRIB English Radio. Now we go for knowing about finding peace through submission to none but Allah. The word Islam has submission at the heart of its linguistic meaning, and has been given a specific Islamic meaning of surrendering, obedience, and submitting to Allah without resistance. In fact, this is the very heart of what it means to be a Muslim. Submitting one's very desires to Allah is the highest form of worship. Submission is what Allah asks of us and is the naturally sensible thing to do. Everything in existence is submitting to Allah against its will, as all submit to the laws of universe set by Allah. Humans have free will to choose what actions to perform. By submitting our actions to a system of rules, that is the Sharia, designed by their creator, is certainly sensible. By willingly submitting our will to the will of Allah, such that we do not even desire for that which would displease Allah, is an even purer worship to Him.
لا إله إلا هو رحيم قدير
The title of this part is In Hardship, In Ease, How to Rely on Allah. One of the ways in hardship and ease is dua. Dua is the greatest act of worship and a significant component of tawakkul. Call upon Allah, and when you do, pray with certainty that you will be heard and answered. Develop a meaningful connection with Allah, asking Him sincerely and with an understanding of the supplications in the Quran and Hadith, along with your own heartfelt words. Internalize your dua the way you may have internalized your anxiety and fear, and trust that Allah will turn your dua, your supplication, into a means of relief and comfort. Dear friend, dua is the weapon of the believer, but it is only as strong as the one who recognizes how to best use it to maximize its benefit. We often make the mistake of limiting our du'as to our own limited perception. Don't be afraid to ask Allah. He moves mountains for those who ask.
We obey the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what submission is. Don't misunderstand what you see on TV, people holding swords and killing. That's not submitting to Allah, that's submitting to shaitan. Of course Allah wants us to submit to Him because He has laws for us, and we are required to observe those laws. Do we not observe laws in our countries? How do you become a good citizen? When you submit to the laws, even laws like traffic laws, you observe them 100%, then you're a good citizen. That's not necessarily evil. It depends to whom you are submitting. But the religion of Islam is based on submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are not required to submit blindly. That would be foolish. In everything that you submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Holy Quran and the Prophet and the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, you have to know why you are submitting. No one is asking you to close your eyes and simply submit to the religion of Islam. You can challenge, you can ask. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Holy Quran encourages us to think about everything possible. Use the power of intellect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you and think. When you examine the Quran, I tell you, there is no book, divine book, that invites you and urges you to think like the whole world. Think about everything, about previous civilizations, about the stars and the universe and the galaxies, about your surrounding environment, even about a fetus while developing in his mother's womb. Even that, Allah says, think about that, how I've created you. Think about your societies, think about the poor people, think about the widows, think about your economy, your political system. The Quran invites us to think about everything. There's nothing that you cannot think about in the religion of Islam. And that's why the hadith says 1 hour of contemplation, 1 hour of thinking has more value in the eyes of Allah than 70 rak'ah in salah, than 70 units of prayer. Because Allah does not want you to blindly accept, just because my parents have said so, or because the imam of this masjid has said so. No. You submit, but with awareness, with understanding, with contemplation. However, once we've known that there is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that He sent the Prophet with the Quran, then there is no room for objection. We have to completely submit. That's the true meaning of iman.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran.
That was all for today's special. So we'll continue this topic inshallah on the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Until then, believe you under Allah's protection.
يا خالق الإنسان
خالق الإنسان يا ربي يا رحمن شكرا يا رب.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.